Kevin, we're into double-digit weeks for the NFL season. It's going by way too fast.
That's the one thing that I always get bummed about football is that once you start going like the halfway mark, it's halfway over.
Yeah. I was like, wait, I want more. But, you know,
let me ask you real quick. Do you ever kind of wish they would go to the 18-week season and just do shorter, you know, preseason? Yeah.
I actually would like to see him do shorter preseason, go to the 18-week season, and give each team two byes.
I like that idea because for teams that going through injury and stuff, that would be nice. I would fully support that. Especially the way it would work great for the two teams that lost their byes this week because of the hurricane situation.
And I think Tampa would really appreciate their bye this week with Jameis Winston injured.
I know, exactly. half a season left.
Yep. And speaking of byes, both of our teams played that really tough opponent, the bye week this week.
Oh, man, they were, like, really tough this week. There was a lot of injuries going on over on the bye team. My team fared quite well, actually. So if my team was smart, they would have left for Mexico City last week so they can get used to the air. So we'll see. I got to ask you real quick. Okay. Your coach has this legendary winning record after the bye week, and a lot of people bring that into play when it comes to betting, when it comes to setting their lineup. How do you feel about that?
Well, we're playing the New York Giants. like our chances.
so you have two bye weeks then. Okay, I get you.
Oh yeah. We'll get to the Giants when we do the wrap up, but. I think it is time to welcome everybody once again into the end zone as we look ahead to week 11. But before we can look ahead, of course, we need to look back. And before we even look back, let's take care of a little business. Of course, this is the end zone on the Fandom Podcast Network. You can find us by visiting fpnet.podbean.com, our homepage. You can also use the Podbean app to find us, or you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, or if you use an Android device, you can find us on Google Play. Just remember to always look for Fandom Podcast Network, where you find all of our great shows in that stream. Also, you can find our Facebook page at Fandom Podcast Network. You can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. Find us on Instagram at Fandom Podcast Network. And, of course, on Twitter at FanPod Network. And of course, I'm Kyle. You can find me at AKyleW on Twitter or on Instagram, AKyleFandom. Kevin, where can people find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Spartan_Phoenix.
So, with that, Let's talk a little Week 10 wrap-up. We talked about this last week when we previewed Week 10. It was a rough week for football, and I think the games kind of played that out this weekend. There was some ugliness to the NFL this weekend.
I want to ask you something real quick because I was a little surprised at the Ryan Fitzpatrick Bowl there in Tampa, but I wanted to ask you, since you live in the area, Tampa squeaked one out by, was it 2 points, I think it was?
It was 10. It was 15-10.
That's right. 15-10. So yeah. What happened in that game?
Well, the game of football was set back for about 50 years, first and foremost. And to give you an idea, the score was 3-3 at halftime or 6-3 at halftime. It was just ugly. Here's how bad it was, Kevin. Josh McCown throws a pick and the Bucs intercept it. Really nice interception by Brent Grimes. And they get it back about the 45-yard line, maybe the 40. Ryan Fitzpatrick turns around immediately on the next play and throws an interception down at the 2-yard line.
Oh, jeez.
So that kind of sums up that game. I mean, the Jets, who had been playing pretty well and had just come off that.
Wait, hold on. When he threw that interception, when was it in the game?
It was about midway through the second quarter.
Okay, all right.
It was literally back-to-back plays.
Okay.
But, I mean, here's the thing. The Jets were just coming off that mini bye week because they played a Thursday night game of the week before where they blew out the Buffalo Bills. The Jets were looking pretty good and been pretty competitive all season, and they just came out in this game flat as all heck. And Tampa, actually, their defense played like their defense was playing towards the end of last season. They looked fired up. They were moving around the ball, but they had no Mike Evans, no Jameis Winston. They get Mike Evans back this week. Winston's going to be out for this week, maybe longer, or what they're saying. It was bad football. But well, it wasn't the only bad football we saw this week.
Yeah, that's true. I want to touch on that New Orleans Buffalo game. Wait a minute.
I have a question. Okay. Let's see. Right. How did the New Orleans Saints score 47 points and Drew Brees doesn't throw a touchdown pass?
That was one of the things I wanted to bring up. Was there like 5 rushing touchdowns in that game? It was crazy.
Mark Ingram went bonkers.
Oh, jeez.
And both they had 256 yards combined as a rushing between him and Kamara. Both of them had over 100 yards. And Drew Brees even ran for a touchdown.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. It seems like that running back duo there are both like RB1s if you're looking at it on the fantasy side of football. So that's interesting.
Kamara is going to come out of nowhere.
Yeah, exactly. But I mean, but being able to put up that many points in Buffalo, that's what really surprised me.
I think the Bills are pulling what the Bills have done the last few years. They kind of come out of the gate strong about midseason. They're looking good. And then they just kind of collapse in the second half of the season. And, you know, I look at the Buffalo Bills and I look at them and there's talent there, but they've also gotten some malcontents out and Marcell Dareus. They traded Sammy Watkins. Yes, they just got Calvin Benjamin back. Charles Clay just came back. But there's talent there. They're just a weird team. They just can't seem to bring it all together. I thought McDermott was kind of turning them around, but it's been ugly the last couple of weeks. And when we talk about this week's news, we'll talk a little bit more about the Buffalo Bills then.
Okay, good, good. Was there any other standout games you wanted to touch on here?
Well, I actually thought a good game was the Minnesota Vikings-Washington Redskins game.
Yeah, that's right.
I thought that was a good game. And I think it had the best moment of the weekend was the return of Teddy Bridgewater to an active roster.
Yeah, but backup, though. It's Case Keenum's role to lose, right?
Yeah, it's Case Keenum's role to lose, but, I mean, still, you saw the emotion of him just being able to be back out on the field after that devastating knee injury he had a year and a half ago. I think he's going to play for the Vikings at some point. It's Case Keenum. He's got to sell me that he's going to continue playing like this. But, you know, I hope he gets a chance to at least play a game or two this season and play well, because this is a class act and a guy who really I would like to see succeed. But it was a heck of a game. The Vikings kind of took off to an early lead, but Washington came back. And I gotta say this, how are the Vikings 7-2, Kevin, with all the injuries they have?
Oh, I know, it's amazing. I was looking at that going, what is going on there? I know their defense is good, but you got to put up some points, and apparently they've been doing that.
Yeah. Well, Case Keenum is the third highest-rated quarterback in the NFL right now.
Are you serious?
Yeah, when you add in people who are injured and such. Wow. Yeah, he's got the third highest. And they've got a couple pretty good wide receivers in Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen.
Wow. Jeez. Well, how about go ahead.
I was going to say, and former Raider running back Latavius Murray is playing solid for them. I'm not going to say spectacular, but he's playing solid for them.
Well, I'm happy for him. I just wish he would have been a little more reliable with the Raiders. And what was it, San Francisco? Didn't they get their first win?
Oh, yes. The San Francisco 49ers grabbed their first win by beating the self-destructing New York Giants. That team is going to clean house at the end of the regular season. And you know what, Kevin? I got to stop for a minute. I talked about Teddy Bridgewater, I'm learning to talk apparently, as a feel-good player of the week. There's a really heartwarming story that came out of the San Francisco game. I don't know if you heard about this.
Tell me.
Marquise Goodwin. Marquise Goodwin posted right before that game that hours earlier, his wife and he lost their child. She had to have premature labor. They lost a child. He went and played that game with an extremely heavy heart. And I don't know if you saw in the highlights, he had an 80-plus yard touchdown. Wow. And as he got came close to the end zone and he knew nobody was behind him, he pointed up to the sky and got into the end zone and immediately dropped to one knee, set up her end, and just broke down right there in the end zone. And all of his teammates picked him up. And nobody knew about this. Nobody knew about this until after the game. And it just was a heartwarming story. And just a beautiful tweet by him after the about recognizing his departed child and how strong his wife is. And you know, San Francisco's on a bye week this week, and I really hope he's able to use the time to do some healing. And you know, a lot of credit to be able to go out there and play under those circumstances. It's the little things, but you know, it's just
That's touching. Wow.
But yeah, the New York Giants are officially a mess. Bob McAdoo is going to get fired at the end of the season. I think the general manager is going to get fired. And I have a sneaking suspicion Eli Manning might go the route of his brother and could end up in a Denver Broncos uniform before next season.
Oh, that's funny, dude. Speaking of Denver, they're starting to collapse as well.
Oh, yeah. I think we can, in the AFC West, Kevin, we can stick the fork in both the Broncos, who just got shellacked by the Patriots, and the Patriots are starting to look like the team we thought we were going to see at the beginning of the season, which I'm sure makes what's coming up this week a little more scary for you. But we've got to talk about the San Diego Chargers Jacksonville Jaguar games, because nobody wanted to win that football game.
Apparently. No, you have the ball. No, you have the ball.
Well, no, I have the ball and I'm going to be close, but I'm going to get a taunting penalty, so we set our team way back. I have never seen such an insane 2 minutes of a football game and a team and two teams just trying to give away a football game.
Okay, why don't you lay it out for our listeners there?
Okay, well, Jacksonville is down by 3. They're driving down. They don't make it. Blake Bortles is playing like the Blake Bortles we all know, and which is terrible. They turn the ball over. Then you think, okay, well, they got 3 timeouts. We're going to start calling timeouts, you know, try to force the 2-minute warning, make them punt. On the ensuing play, San Diego fumbles the football. A Jacksonville defender picks it up, runs it into the end zone for what appears to be a take the lead touchdown. But wait, upon further review, the player was ruled down before he got up to run the ball to the end zone. That was highly questionable. We continue. Blake Bortles throws a pass down towards the end zone to Marquise Lee, who drops the ball but gets pounded on a very illegal hit because the guy just led with the helmet and they went defensive receiver. So they throw the flag. Marquise Lee is fine. He stands up and he sits there and does a little taunt dance right in front of the San Diego defender. And about that same time, they actually pick up the flag for the illegal hit because they saw it was actually a clean hit. It was just a very violent hit. So it knocks San Diego or knocks Jacksonville out of field goal range.
Oh,
the next
God.
Throw break.
Because this is because of Marquise Lee's taunting.
Yes.
Oh, geez.
So the next throw, Blake Bortles throws an interception. Now you get an interception. What do? You stay inbounds, go down. So the clock doesn't stop. Oh no. The San Diego player who intercepts the ball starts celebrating and runs out of bounds, stopping the clock before the 2-minute warning.
Oh, my God.
So, needless to say, Jacksonville holds, gets the ball back, is able to kick a game-tying field goal and send the ball game into overtime. Both teams have the ball a couple of times. Nothing happens, so we're in sudden death at this point. Jacksonville gets down to field goal range, kicks the field goal. The field goal gets deflected by a player as it's going, and it still inches across the crossbar, and Jacksonville wins the football game.
Oh, my gosh. It's like the ugliest game-winning field goal ever.
Well, come on. This is San Diego. This is Los Angeles now. This only happens to the Chargers.
Don't the Chargers have one of those weird stats of losing the most games within like 3 or 4 points or something like that?
The Chargers in the last 3 years have lost 21 games by less than one score.
Wow. That's crazy.
So,
well, just, before, just, before we get into the news, I thought I'd can I read off the current standings right now?
Absolutely.
Okay, here we go. All right, so for the AFC East, no surprise there. We got the Patriots 7-2. Buffalo Bills still in second place at 5-4 with a winning record. Miami is at 4-5. Jets at 4-6. AFC North, Pittsburgh Steelers still in charge and command there at 7-2. Remember when we were worried about them like the week 4 or week 5? Remember that?
Yeah, not so much anymore.
In second place, we have the Baltimore Ravens at 4-5, Cincinnati at 3-6, and of course the hapless Cleveland Browns. Sorry, Norm, at 0-9. Tennessee Titans ahead of the AFC South. They're technically tied with Jacksonville, but I guess in the percentage points they're ahead. So that is a two-team race right there in the AFC South. Tennessee and Jacksonville with Houston at 3-6 and Colts at 3-7. AFC West, your team, of course, still in the driver's seat there. Kansas City Chiefs at 6-3. Raiders are still fighting for something there at 4-5. That's what you call in the hunt. Chargers, of course, and Denver are at the bottom at 3-6. I think it's time to stick a fork in those teams. On the NFC side, of course, not surprising there in the NFC East, Philadelphia commanding at number one there, 8-1. Dallas still with the winning record at 5-4, even losing this week. Washington Redskins are 4-5. You can't count those guys out. So it's kind of it's a three-team race there, but I think it's more of a two-team for a wild card there, if you ask me.
Exactly. I think so.
And, of course, the Giants are at 1-8. NFC North, Minnesota Vikings still surprisingly 7-2 with Detroit and Green Bay tied for second. But I think Detroit holding the tiebreaker right now. They're both at 5-4, and the Bears are at 3-6. Let me ask you real quick: the Bears, are we counting them out?
I think so, but I gotta give the Bears this. The Mitchell Trubisky looks like he's legitimately something, and I gotta give a real knock to John Fox, who will not be the Bears coach next year after what he pulled in the game against Green Bay. Did you see this?
No, what happened?
He called for a replay on a fumble, and it was on a supposed touchdown play by one of his running backs. Well, it turns out in the replay, he fumbled the ball out of the end zone before he made it to the end zone. So by replaying it, the refs actually then not only called a fumble, they called a touchback, giving the ball to Green Bay. So not only did John Fox end up costing his team the touchdown, he cost him possession of the ball as well by calling a replay on that play.
So that is a bonehead coach move there is what you're calling.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Right. Now, the other thing I just want to say real quick, the Green Bay Packers still hanging around at 5-4 with Aaron Rodgers out. And
yeah.
There was a little story today. Somebody was taking some snaps in practice today.
Would that be, let's say, the Aaron
Mr. Rogers? Discount Double Check himself.
Wow. when are they now, scheduling his return, if any?
They say if he comes back, he could maybe come back by week 15. And if the Green Bay is still in the hunt, you don't think that they would consider putting him on the field?
Yeah, they would. All right. Interesting development there in the AFC or the NFC North. For the NFC South, of course, we have the Saints at number one, but not far behind because the Saints are 7-2, Carolina 7-3. Falcons fighting back, can't count them out just yet. They're at 5-4, and Tampa Bay at 3-6. I would say you could definitely stick the fork in Tampa Bay, but not in Atlanta. But I want to ask you real quick before you go to NFC West here, who do you think's taking that South right now?
I got to say the Saints. I mean, they've already beat Carolina once, and I mean, the Saints aren't winning like we normally see the Saints. The Saints are running the football and playing a pretty solid brand of defense right now.
Oh, the next game between those two teams is going to be huge.
Oh yeah, without
huge.
A doubt.
Okay, so NFC West, of course, we have the Rams at 7-2, but one game behind them is Seattle Seahawks at 6-3. Cardinals at 4-5. Not going to count them out just yet. And then, of course, the Niners at 1-9.
Okay, wait, Kevin. I'm going to hit you with an NFL hot take right now.
Hot take. I love those hot takes. Give it to me.
The Los Angeles Rams are going to win the NFC West.
And why is that?
Seattle has no running game. They can't keep a running back healthy, and Richard Sherman going down for the season Thursday night in Arizona. I think those are two huge problems for Seattle. I think Seattle could still make the playoffs as a wild card, but the Rams are just rolling. And when we talk about this week's schedule, the Rams are probably in the best game of the week this week.
Yes. Yeah, I would agree with you. Seattle is relying a lot on the arm of Russell Wilson right now. And I've been really surprised about how I know there's been injuries in that backfield, but it just seems like that if you are healthy, it just really has not been a running back that will stand out there. It's interesting. So,
yeah.
All right, man. Should we do some power rankings?
Let's hit some power rankings.
All right. So I'm seeing, of course, no big surprise, Eagles at number one right now at 8-1. I think people are picking them to go to the Super Bowl on the NFC side right now. Nothing seems to be – I don't see – let me ask you real quick. Do you see a any, I guess, hole in their armor, anything that could help them or could make them start losing some games? I mean, I just don't see it right now.
Their offensive line is a little suspect, and their secondary is a little suspect, but Carson Wentz is playing on another level. I think adding Jay Ajayi, who's now had a week plus one game plus the bye week to get adjusted to their offense, is going to be huge for them, and their defense is just playing lights out. I think there's really only one team in the NFC right now who's going to give them a game, and that's the New Orleans Saints, and we'll see it come playoff time.
Oh, that will be an interesting NFC playoff game there. Well, at number two, no surprise, of course, we have the Patriots with similar records. Of course, we've got Steelers at 7-2 as well, Rams at 7-2, Saints coming at 5 at 7-2, Vikings are up there at 6 now, 6-7-2. Your Chiefs are at 7, Panthers are at 8, Seahawks are at 9, Jaguars finish out the top 10 with the Falcons, Cowboys, Titans, Lions, and Bills in the top 15. My Raiders are still at number 21 right now. What I find interesting, though, is that and I don't understand why, but in the CBS power ranking, the Chargers are at 20 with Raiders at 21.
Yeah, I don't quite get that either, but I think people. I think there are a lot of people who have lost a lot of confidence in the Raiders.
Apparently, season. But I mean, I don't know what's going on. Anyway, yeah. How do you feel about the top 10? Is there any teams here that you think are ranked a little bit too high?
Maybe Jacksonville, just because of Blake Bortles. But I think it's pretty right. I think I would have the Saints slightly ahead of the Rams at this point, though. But that's more because the Saints have just been there before. That Rams team reminds me, that's going to be the team nobody's going to want to play next season. In fact, I wouldn't be surprised if the Rams aren't the favorite to win the NFC next season.
I'm kind of thinking the Panthers should be a little bit higher right now. They're at number 8. Vikings are at 6. I'm not quite comfortable with them being at 6. I think that's a little high for them.
I think the fact they're in a division lead, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. So Falcons are at 11 right now. It feels about right. Let me ask you something. Cowboys. Zeke Elliott not playing. They lost. Dak didn't have the best game. What are you thinking?
I think people are putting in too much about why they played bad. It wasn't because they were missing Zeke Elliott. It's because they were missing their starting left tackle, Tyron Smith. And the replacement... Let Adrian Claiborne, of all people, get 6 sacks.
Oh, jeez. All right.
But I think Zeke Elliott is, they're going to miss him. But they have a couple of pretty good backups, too. I don't think it's as drastic. But right now, if you were to ask me, I would say the Cowboys missed the playoffs.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, let's get in the news. Speaking of the Cowboys, Mr. Elliott says he ends his suspension fight, right?
Yep, he is going to. He's already served one game starting last week. He's not going to fight it anymore. He's going to serve the rest of 5 games. He'll be back for the December 24th game against the Seahawks. And of course, this pretty much just kills any fantasy football owners of having Zeke Elliott for their playoffs.
Yeah. Do you even remember what he was suspended for?
Yeah, it's for what he the domestic violence issue he actually was found not guilty for, but he had also been involved in a couple other questionable situations. And the NFL's conduct policy now is an automatic 6-game suspension like that with subject to review. But I think the problem was is if he would have just appealed it and they would have taken, I think, and just went through the process, he probably would have went down to 4 games. And if he would have just served those 4 games, instead he fought and he fought and he fought with Jerry's help, and it just turned into a mess. And now I think he's gonna kill the Cowboys' playoff chances by not being there.
Yeah.
This is one of those times where your ego hurt your teammates.
I'm thinking, you know, if you're going to get suspended, just take it and do it, you know, because especially if you can get it reduced, that's a good thing. And, you know, Brady took it and did it, even though he didn't like it. And look what happened. He won a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Well, the next piece of news is another team we talked about earlier in the Week 10 wrap-up. The Buffalo Bills, who are now benching Tyrod Taylor to start rookie quarterback Nate Peterson.
I got to ask you about this. This seems really weird. He's been, when you look at Tyrod Taylor through the first half of the season, I mean, he's been pretty darn good, right? Why after one bad performance for him would they do that? Is there something else going on there that I don't see?
Well, it's actually technically two bad performances by the Bills the last 2 weeks, but this has been a typical Tyrod Taylor story through his career, especially in Buffalo. He plays well for 3 or 4 games, then he kind of disappears for a little bit. He gets benched. Of course, whoever's taken over for him is nowhere near as good, so he ends up coming in. The difference this time is a lot of people are actually very high on this Nate Peterson kid. In fact, John Gruden said he felt like coming into the draft, he was the most NFL-ready of any of the rookie quarterbacks. I don't know if I'd go that far, but the mistake made here is the Buffalo Bills had a really good record for the early part of the season. I think if they were going to see if they had something with this rookie, they should have just started him from the get-go. Tyrod Taylor's going to be on a different team next year. He's got a huge option. I don't think the Bills are going to keep it. They're going to save the salary cap room. I think Tyrod Taylor, if Eli Manning doesn't end up in a Broncos uniform, look for Tyrod Taylor to maybe go to the Broncos. And I would love to see Tyrod Taylor play with some legitimate offensive talent outside of LeSean McCoy, because he's never had great receivers in Buffalo.
What about Kelvin Benjamin? Are they going to give him a shot? I mean, I was kind of hoping to see Tyrod and Kelvin connect here and there.
Well, I think that was part of the problem with last week was Tyrod's performance. He didn't get Benjamin involved very heavy. Also, Charles Clay was back last week, and he barely got Clay involved as well. So I don't be surprised to see Tyrod play again before the season's out, unless Peterson just comes in and plays like Deshaun Watson, but It's just a mess. I think it's time at the end of the season for Tyrod Taylor and the Buffalo Bills to go their separate ways. I think it's just a good move for both of them.
Yeah. Jeez. So,
now, here's an interesting piece of news. Well, we talked a little bit about Seattle earlier and what Russell Wilson's doing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's doing it and taking a beating in the process. Russell Wilson had to get his jaw realigned this week.
How does that happen?
It doesn't sound pleasant. I don't know. I don't think I want to know.
Was his jaw clicking? I mean, did he get dislocated?
I don't know if he had a dislocation, or a slight dislocation and jaw pain or whatever, but no. Getting my jaw repositioned just does not sound pleasant, Kevin.
No, it does not at all. Wow. Ugh, sounds painful, too.
I got to give Russell Wilson credit. I know when he came into the league, a lot of people didn't think he would be that sturdy. That guy is a player. He is out there no matter what seems to be wrong with him. And I just hope he survives the season at this point.
I know. Yeah. Jeez. Gosh. Wow.
But well, speaking of surviving some seasons, Kevin, how are you doing in fantasy?
Fantasy. Well, hold on. Before we go into fantasy real quick, should we look at the next week's team or do you want next week's games?
Let's go ahead. Let's look at next week's games. Let's preview week 11. I'm getting ahead of myself here.
Yeah. Let's do that. Okay, so let me give you the lineup here and of next week's game starting, of course, this Thursday night. Pittsburgh hosting Tennessee. That should be a good game because both those teams need those wins. Well, more Tennessee than Pittsburgh, but still.
Okay, I got to say this, though. Tennessee might be the most boring football team to watch ever.
What's funny, I'm laughing because you're right, but I want to know your reasoning.
Well, one is, it makes me sad because Marcus Mariota could be a dynamic quarterback, but it's because of the belief of their head coach, Mike Mularkey, who just run the football, smash mouth, defense. And there is just nobody offensively exciting on the Tennessee Titans.
Do you mean in a receiving type of role? Is that what you mean?
Right. I mean, just, there's no dynamic to their offense. And they're just one of those teams where, like, you know, there's good players on there, but there's nobody who's like, oh my gosh, that's an all-pro, all-world player I got to see.
Right. Yeah. Well, the 1 o'clock games here, we have Detroit at Chicago, your Kansas City Chiefs at the Giants, Miami hosting Tampa Bay, Baltimore, Green Bay, Minnesota hosting the Rams. That should be a good one. And Arizona at Houston, Jacksonville at Cleveland, and New Orleans hosting Washington. Now, the late games we have Chargers hosting Buffalo, Denver hosting Cincinnati, and also at the late game we have New England and Oakland at Mexico City, which technically takes up a home game for the Raiders, which Raider fans are not happy about. And then the Sunday night game, Philadelphia at Dallas. Then, of course, followed up Monday night, Mr. Lockjaw himself, Seattle, hosting Atlanta. Got to ask you, man, there's some good games going on here. Of course, we've got we got Jacksonville at Cleveland, which probably is going to be
that could. You know what? If it's good, Jacksonville has a really good defense, because if they didn't, that could actually end up being Cleveland's first win.
Yeah, I know, right? Give me a couple games here, man. What are you looking forward to seeing here? Of course, besides your Chiefs, I know your Chiefs looking back. And okay, now hold on, I got to ask you about this. You know, I said earlier, your Chiefs always have a really good record coming out of the bye here. A lot of people bet on this. I think this is going to be an easy bet at Giants. Got to ask you, though, could this be a trap game?
No. Andy
no?
Reed has Andy Reid has the Chiefs too ready, and he did the same thing in Philly. Bye weeks, no. And I think the Chiefs, you got to remember, they've lost four of their last five. They got a little something to prove now. And one of the things I do hope they do is get Kareem Hunt going. He's been a little, I come to find out when I looked at the stats, he only got 7 carries against the Dallas Cowboys.
What was up with that? Was he in the doghouse? What happened with that?
No, this is Andy Reid, and this is the one thing that drives me nuts with Andy Reid. Andy Reid is one of these coaches who tends to get a little pass happy. And Kansas City was down early in that game, and they just got away from him, and Andy Reid knows it. And I think you're going to see – expect Kareem Hunt to have a huge game against the Giants.
Yeah, okay.
But as far as games this week that I'm excited about, it starts to me with Rams at Minnesota. I think this is going to be one heck of a football game. Philly at Dallas is going to be very interesting. I think Philadelphia's actually going to – kind of take it to the Cowboys. I think Philadelphia is going to come out of their bye week looking to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually think New Orleans at Washington, even though New Orleans is favored by 7.5, Washington has been game in every game for the most part this season.
Well, New Orleans is playing at home, so I can see that. But Washington, they've still got a lot of game. I don't want to count those guys out. So,
and I think Seattle at Atlanta is quite interesting too, because Atlanta's still walking that edge. They can't afford to lose a game at this point.
Well, they've lost their running back due to concussion protocols, but they got Tevin, so that'll be interesting. I think they'll be okay on that side of the ball anyway.
We are spared this week because when we look at the bye week too, the a lot of bad teams are on bye this week. The Colts, the Jets, and the Niners are all on bye this week.
Yeah, the only fantasy team, I guess, when we get into that, all the Carolina players, of course, are on a break right now. So, yeah, we've
now,
got
oh,
some...
wait, I do have one question for you, though, Kevin.
Yes.
I'm looking at this. How are the Arizona Cardinals, who are playing at Houston, only favored? This line is, it's a 1-point line. And the quarterback matchup is Tom Savage starting for the Houston Texans versus the improbable and legendary Blaine Gabbert for the Arizona Cardinals this week.
Is that 1 point going in a certain running back's favor, I guess? I don't know.
That's the, is that the Adrian Peterson point? That's what
I'm
wondering.
Yeah, that is the Adrian Peterson point right there. Did you say Blaine Gabbert?
Blaine Gabbert is starting for the Arizona Cardinals this week.
Gosh. You know how the NFL Network has those specials on a lot of famous football players and legends and stuff. I would love to see an NFL special on all of the backup journeyman quarterback.
Oh, well, come on. They just need to do a special on the McCown brothers.
Yeah, I know. Born to be backups.
So what games are grabbing your attention, Kevin?
You touched on pretty much most of them there. You know, of course, you know, my Oakland trying to stay alive against New England. I think that's going to be a high scoring affair because both defenses aren't great. My only worry though is the running. I don't know if you know this, but New England has like three decent running backs that can all catch, and it's crazy. Fantasy wise, they're all very viable, which is interesting.
Well, let's not forget Martellus Bennett finding the miracle cure and now being able to start and play regular for the Patriots.
Yeah, oh, I know that too. So, yeah, the New Orleans Washington game obviously is interesting to me. Yeah, gosh, there's some good ones. That Philadelphia Dallas, man, that's going to be interesting.
I got to ask you, are we in must-win category for your Oakland Raiders?
Yeah, oh, definitely. I mean, so if we lose that game, we're at 4-6 right now, and two games under 500. You know, the last several games have been that way. Especially against when we beat your Chiefs, and then we went to Miami beating those. They're all must win right now. We don't have the luxury to lose anything into losing the standings because then we start falling out of the AFC wild card chase right now. Because I don't see us, I don't see us getting the. Get in the division there with your Chiefs leading the way.
Yeah. So, well, before we wrap up everything, let's talk our fantasy football, Kevin, because it was an interesting week in fantasy and a kind of a frustrating one, I think, too.
Yeah. What was funny for me was I had, I'm only in three leagues, of course, two with you, with the ESPN and the NFL Trophy League. And I also have Yahoo League. I was trailing in all those games on that Monday, going in that Monday night game, and I had, as a quarterback, I had Cam Newton in each of those games. And what's funny too is I actually dropped him in two of those leagues because remember how bad he was doing, in the first half of the season I was getting frustrated with him. And then he had like one good game, and I'm like, okay, well, I've got some buys coming up. Might as well pick him back up again. And then, of course, I had Devin Funches in two of those leagues, and I came back and won all three of those leagues. But you know, all my teams are mediocre right now. I'm either at 500 or below.
Well, come on, and our ESPN league is mediocre because it's a cluster of grouping in that ESPN league.
Yeah, especially so you're in the East with me. You're at second right now at 6-4. First down order's at 7-3, and then I'm at 5-5. The West, I do this by the East and West in this league. It's kind of fun. We got a two-way tie for first, and then a two-way tie for second, or almost a two-way tie. Sorry, and those teams in the West right now, they're not out of it. So. Yeah. How did you do in all? You have what, four leagues?
Got four leagues. I went 2-2 this week. I won in our ESPN league thanks to Jared Goff putting up a monster game.
You started Goff?
Yeah. And then I also won in my Yahoo league, which that league has been kind of frustrating. I'm not out of it yet, but I should have a lot better record than what I have. It seems like every week I play the team that has like the best week ever in that league. I did get eliminated officially in my CBS Sports League. That league has just been a jinx this year. I cannot start the right guys every week in that.
Can I ask you about that CBS? That is the one fantasy football league I've not tried. My favorite is the ESPN because of the way they align their stats. How is the CBS league?
I actually really like the CBS League. They do a lot of extra stuff that's a lot of fun in the CBS League. I would actually say, I would, if you were going to rank it for me, I think I would go CBS League number one, followed probably by ESPN, the NFL, then Yahoo.
Yeah, Yahoo's always been at the bottom for me personally. Speaking of, how do you feel about when you're setting up your, if you were to set up your own league, since I know you've lost some really close games in your Yahoo by like a half a point, how do you feel about this whole half a point thing? Do you prefer regular straight up points, or do you,
I'll tell you, it's kind of funny because there's so much crazy scoring now in these fantasy leagues. Nobody's the same. I remember when I first started, it was pretty much flat across the board. I don't like Yahoo for that reason, because there's several games where I'm losing by a tenth of a point. Come on now. Just give me a tie. There's no reason for that. I understand now we're in an age where we can keep everything up to date like that. But no, and I mean, you know, we've got standard leagues, we've got PPR leagues, we've got, you know, Kevin, you do some crazy scoring in your leagues, but it makes it fun too, at least how you've got it set up in your leagues. Though I do have an issue with Adrian Peterson scoring 23 points when he only rushed for 27 yards and didn't even have a touchdown. just so you know, in that one league that Kevin is the commissioner of, he does have a running back gets a point for every carry they have.
Yeah, it makes running back positions pretty important there, and it's even if they don't score a touchdown, they do get points on the touches. So yeah, that's a crazy league.
But yeah, I lost. What was kind of heartbreaking for me was I finally lost in our NFL league after being on like an 8-game winning streak.
Can I throw something out there? I got to tell you, in my Yahoo league, I play Yahoo mostly out of loyalty, because it was the first fantasy football team I ever did, like 15, whatever, 20 years ago. And so I do it just because. And so I said, you know what? I was hoping to join one of my fellow Raider fans, Yahoo League, and he didn't set it up this year. So I'm like, well, I got to do one. So I decided to do my own. And I was looking for players, and Norman's like, you know what, you should check out my friend Tim. And Tim is an old friend of Norman, but he lives out here in Atlanta now. And I see Tim from time to time, but he's a busy guy, but he loves playing football. So he's not on Facebook. And so I sent him a message, say, hey, do you want to join my fantasy league? I got a spot open for you if you want. He's like, yeah, sure. And first of all, he has, I think, one of the coolest fantasy football names. It's called Abe Froman.
Oh, no.
Do you get that reference?
Yes, I do get that reference.
All right. It's for those that don't
know. The Sausage King.
Yes, yes. That is a fierce Ferris Bueller reference. And he is 10-0.
Don't you? You have to hate that. Oh, the guy who you just kind of bring in on the fly. The next thing you know, he's like undefeated in the league.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm in fifth place in that team right now. I'm 5-5. I don't know if I'll. I'm fighting for a playoff spot right now, but it's like after Abe Froman's 10-0, second place and third place are at 6-4, and then I'm at 5-5 with two other players. But I think part of Tim's success here is that he's had a pretty reliable team, but he's also doing a really good job at playing the matchups too. He's got Matthew Stafford, Brandon Cooks, Mike Evans, Melvin Gordon, Kareem Hunt, Andre Hopkins, Stephon Diggs, and Doug Martin are is starting right now, with the backup of Joe Mixon, Calvin Benjamin, Buck Allen, Sammy Watkins, LeGarrette Blount, Keenan Allen, Marquise Lee, and Austin Eckler, and then his kicker is Matt Prater, and his defense is Pittsburgh.
Okay, I got to ask a question, Kevin. You mentioned Kevin Hunt or Kareem Hunt being on his team. How many teams are waiting in their fantasy league because they got Kareem Hunt late in the draft this guy's going to start for Kansas City, I'll take a flyer.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you did. And, you know, of course, I know you're a Kansas City fan, but still. Did you start Kareem Hunt in that first game against New Orleans?
Yeah.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
New England?
Yeah, I did. I was a very happy camper.
Yeah, I bet you are. What do you say we talk some waiver wire pickups here?
Yeah, it's kind of thin, but there's a couple interesting names out there still.
Rex Burkhead.
Yeah. It's New England, and the only frustrating thing about that is you don't know which one's going to produce for them that week, each week. So that's a little frustrating. Surprisingly if enough, you have, a lot
if
of people...
you have, hold on though, hold on though. If you have a PPR league, which a lot of people do, I think you can definitely put in Burkhead and maybe Dion Lewis, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You could. So a couple of interesting names on the quarterback position, though. A lot of people still have not jumped on the Case Keenum bandwagon. I'm going to say week 11, probably not the week you want to do it. They're playing the Rams, who is like one of the best defenses in the NFL. So I don't know if this is the week to add Case Keenum if you need a quarterback fill.
Right.
And a couple interesting guys coming back from injury, though. Charles Clay came back last week from Buffalo with the change in quarterbacks. A tight end is always can be surprising. Also, Corey Coleman of the Cleveland Browns is coming back because Cleveland doesn't have really anybody else to throw to. And Danny Woodhead is coming back for the Baltimore Ravens. Very interesting there because the Ravens, you want to talk about a running back situation that's a mess. The Ravens, though, they seem to have settled on Alex Collins being kind of their workhorse back. But we'll see what happens now that Woodhead is back.
Yeah, I mean, Buck Allen is still producing as well.
Yeah, so that's interesting. A couple other players, Rod Smith, who's backing up Alfred Morris in Dallas. I think he won't get as much playing time as he did last week because the Cowboys are going to probably not be playing as from behind as much.
Also, Jamal Williams taking over for Aaron Jones, because I had Aaron Jones in a couple of leagues and he got hurt. He's going to be out for a while. So
and
a lot of
Ty Montgomery could come back into play for Green Bay as well. He's got some banged up ribs still, but don't be surprised if they don't at least use him on some third down back type situations.
Right. Yeah.
And so another one I'm very interested in, I've actually picked him up in one of my leagues. And I think a lot of people are going to start seeing some action on him because he's due to come back in week 13 just in time for the playoffs, is Josh Gordon.
Yeah, yeah. We also have some other names here. We've got Dontrell Inman, wide receiver for Chicago. Ryan Fitzpatrick is making this particular list we're looking at. What do you think?
Do not touch Ryan Fitzpatrick with a 10-foot pole. Unless you are absolutely stuck at quarterback. Another injury return coming back soon is Greg Olsen.
That's right. Isn't he going to call a game first and then play?
Yep, that's what he's going to do. He's going to call a game this week and then be back the following week to play. And here's what's funny. Apparently, the Vikings are rather upset because he's calling the Vikings game this week. And I believe next week, the Carolina Panthers play the Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah, yeah. I want to ask you, TJ Fedorowicz, for the tight end for Houston, is
TJ.
Is he on this list because is he becoming a hot target for the backup quarterback there?
A little bit. Plus, Houston's been so destroyed by injuries. He's their starter now. So, and Will Fuller is also injured with a rib injury. He's questionable for this week. So, yeah, it's just, I feel so bad for Houston. That is the team this year. There's always one team every year that's destroyed by injuries. That is the Houston Texans this year.
Yeah. Definitely. Rod Smith, running back for Dallas. Are you buying that?
It's hard to say. I think Alfred Morris sees a lot more playing time than he did last week. Rod Smith is more of a third down back type. I think he's going to see playing time. Dallas is going to be a mess at running back for the rest of the season. Just get used to it.
Jameson Crowder for Washington, the right receiver, and Marquise Goodwin, wide receiver for San Francisco.
Well, San Francisco's on bye this week, but I think Goodwin could be a pickup because when they come out of the bye, they said that Jimmy Garoppolo will be their starter, so that's going to be interesting. What was the other name you gave me, Kevin?
Oh, sorry, Marquise Goodwin, and then we've got Jameson Crowder.
I am not touching Jameson Crowder with a 10-foot pole. I'm not touching any redskin wide receiver with a 10-foot pole at this point.
Here's another name that I always have been avoiding, and it seems like he's with a different team every year. Brandon LaFell, wide receiver for Cincinnati.
Again, Cincinnati's a mess. I think we're seeing the end of the Andy Dalton era in Cincinnati. Don't be surprised if AJ McCarron doesn't start getting some playing time here shortly. But
yeah, I got a question. I got a question for you. This Kenny Golladay guy, wide receiver for Detroit. It says here that he's owned in 7% of Yahoo leagues. Do you think there was a lot of people that got burned by him, like me, after that great, was it second week? And then he did nothing.
They got burned. Yeah, they got burned, but then he got injured.
Yeah, then he got injured, which in a way you get burned as a fantasy owner. It seems like people just aren't buying with him yet. He needs to produce, you know, at least two or three weeks here.
And who is he? They've got Golden Tate. Marvin Jones is putting up huge numbers all over.
I think Marvin Jones is the best receiver right now, if I'm looking at his stats.
Yeah, by stat-wise, but I mean, Tate's always been a Stafford favorite. Eric Ebron's getting more involved in it. Yeah, he's just there's too many people ahead of him at this point.
Latavius Murray is still on some waiver wires here, and then Andre Ellington, running back for Arizona. I'm not touching Andre. Latavius, no. I would definitely pick him up if you can. And, of course, your Josh Gordon does make this list as well. Rex Burkhead, of course, as I mentioned. Jamal Williams, as we said. Kenyon Drake still on the list here.
Pick him up fast if he's available in your league.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's some good mediocre advice, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So okay, Kevin, as we look ahead to week 11, do you have an upset and do you have a fantasy player to watch this week?
I got to tell you, I'm really worried about Rex Burkhead, especially against the Raiders. Because to me, the Raiders still struggle with that tight end position. And Rex Burkhead is not a tight end, but he's in one of those situations where I think that he could fill that gap if Brady's not getting that tight end thing. And you know, I can just see Rex Burkhead burning the Raiders right now. I hate to say it, but yeah, Rex Burkhead. For any upsets, Rams at Minnesota, maybe. I could see that happening. I hope Oakland wins against New England, but I don't know if that's going to happen. Sorry, that was my Homer fanboy voice there. Yeah. Green Bay can beat at home against maybe beat up Baltimore. I mean, they're only, Baltimore's only favored by 2 points. What about you? Upset?
Okay, well.
And give upset. Me a fantasy player.
Well, I'll go with my upset first. I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to upset the Seattle Seahawks.
Wow, okay. That's a possibility. Yeah, well, it's at Seattle, so we'll see.
Yeah, I just think Seattle, because I think Seattle's in trouble. Seattle's got a little some problems right now. This is a time they're ripe for the picking. As far as a fantasy player this week, you know what? I'm going to go back to that to the Atlanta Falcons and double dip. Tevin Coleman, the running back. He's going to have – he was huge last week against Dallas. I think he's going to have a bigger game against Seattle this week with no
– I don't have any stats on him being – having certain around – being available in leagues right now. Have a lot of people picked him up as a handcuff, or is he available in some leagues?
No, he's been picked up pretty much as a handcuff. Yeah, a lot of people even – if they drafted Freeman, they drafted Tevin Coleman. But – real quick, one other quick thing, Kevin, before we close out, too. Did you catch the story real quick of both in Russell Wilson and Jacoby Brissett getting put back out on the field where they kind of avoided the concussion protocol?
Well, what happened?
Both of them got knocked silly in their games and were out on the field within 3 or 4 plays when they had no business being out there. And it was actually called out. There's a doctor from Harvard, Dr. Chris Nowitzki. And he's become like the concussion expert. He's actually a former professional wrestler and had to retire from that because of
concussion. Hold on. Let's clarify something real quick. Was their injuries identified as, you know, hey, this looks like they should be checked for, you know, usually they take them off the field and they should be checked, or is it just, did they just go back in right away?
They were taken off the field for a play, maybe a couple, but especially Jacoby Brissett looked out on his feet. And they put him back in maybe about 3 plays later.
Wow.
The NFL, I think there's going to be some stricter rules next season on these things. Where I think it's going to be left more in the referee's hands. If they see a guy who's concussed, they might prevent him from. They even think is concussed, even if he passes the protocol. It might be referee's judgment to say, "Hey, you're not putting this guy back out on the field."
Speaking of Jacoby, is he playing through the rest of the season?
He's not going to get through the rest of the season. I love Jacoby. I think he's been a warrior this season, but I don't think he's going to survive.
I guess what I'm getting at is Luck is definitely out for the year, right?
Oh, yeah. Well, Luck's done. Luck is done. Okay. He said it. Okay. He's done for the year. But I hope Jacoby Brissett survives, and I think New England's really regretting trading him right now.
Who is the backup to him?
Scott Tolzien, who actually started week one for the Colts.
Oh, that's right. He's still with that team. Okay. All right.
So, well, on that note, I think it's time we call some trick plays. I think your Raiders probably need a few of them this week.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. We need our defense to step up here. But it's interesting. You think that a Mexico City game would be a primetime game, but it's not. It's just one of the later games, so that one didn't get option to be moved up. So,
well, Kevin, I think we need to move to altitude then.
Yeah, definitely. If both teams were smart, they went there early and, you know, got acclimated to it. So I think that New England already did so by playing and beating up on Denver in Denver. So this is going to be interesting.
Yep, absolutely. But on that note, it's time to take the trick play. Kevin, I know you can handle this Wildcat formation. And once again, lead the Fandom Podcast.
Taunting.
Network into
I'm
the end
taunt
zone.
You to. Uh-oh, I just got flagged. Sorry, San Diego.
Stay classy, Sandy. Or, actually, no. Stay classy, Los Angeles. Thank you for listening. This has been The End Zone.